Good morning. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church here in Lufkin on August 15th. A couple of announcements first. As much for the session members as for the congregation, session will meet immediately after worship today in the conference room. August 29th, 2 weeks from today, we have a lot of things planned. We have Rally Day with all kinds of goodies after worship service. And then, somewhat afterwards, at 4 p.m., is the installation service for Reverend Gordon Blackman. That'll be at 4 p.m., and after that service, we've got a reception over in the fellowship hall also, goodies for those attending. And it should be quite an event. The president of the Austin Theological Seminary, Ted Wardlaw, will be preaching, and I've been told it will not be a boring sermon. There is a cookies and conversations with classmates. Maria Bettencourt Smith is going to be starting up a Bible study class, and the kickoff for that will also be the 29th. I guess nothing else happens between now and then. 10 a.m. to 10:30 before worship, cookies, coffees, in conversation with Maria, who will be leading the class. And I hesitate to mention it, but the book this quarter will be Lies My Preacher Told Me, An Honest Look at the Old Testament. That is not an inflection on anybody here, but it's supposed to be a good book about the Old Testament. And with that, any other announcements that aren't in the bulletin or that I forgot to mention? Thank you.
Welcome. This is the house of God. All are welcome here. Are there any prayer requests, joys, or concerns anyone would like to share? Okay, let us pray. O Lord, our God, you invite us into the house of your wisdom, giving us bread to eat and cup to drink, and teaching us to walk in your way of truth. As we hear your words of wisdom, may we learn to be ever more attuned to your will for our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name great things to be praised. I give glory to your name.
stand as you're able for the worship. God is the source of wisdom,
the fount of life eternal.
Let us listen for the wisdom of God
and worship the one whose words shape the world.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God. Please turn in the Presbyterian hymnal to page 376, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Of God's amazing love is this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to wash away our sins. With confidence, asking for forgiveness of our sins. So in faith and in penitence, Let us go to the throne of God using first the prayer of confession printed in your bulletin and then praying together in silence. Let us pray. O Lord, the voice of your wisdom rings out in the world, guiding us to place our trust in you. The voice of your wisdom rings out in the world, challenging us to seek the things that matter. Too often, O Lord, we refuse to listen. We place our trust in things that are fleeting. We seek the things that make us comfortable rather than seeking the way of your peace. Forgive us, God of grace, and teach us to walk in the path lined by your wisdom. Amen. Hear the good news. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us, and Christ prays for us. So hear the good news and believe that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are indeed washed away. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful, forgiven Christians, let's stand together and sing glory to God. Having received the peace of God's forgiveness, let's pass that peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you. Corey, peace of Christ be with
you. For our Old Testament reading, our prayer for illumination. Faithful God, how blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Sanctify us by your word and spirit, so that we may glorify you in the company of the faithful. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today I'll be reading Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, who study by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wondrous deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have good understanding. His praise endures forever. Holy wisdom, holy words, thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Will the children please join me down front? If you're not coming down here, I'm coming to you. Hi, Lillian. Come on. I've scared her back. Okay. I don't know if you can on camera if I come all the way back here or not. Hi, how are you this morning? Have you ever wanted a wish like Aladdin, where you have a magic lamp and get a wish? Ever wanted a wish? Yeah. And what would you wish for? What would you wish for if you got a wish? Probably doesn't want to tell me, because she's been told when you blow out your candles on the birthday cake and you tell anybody your wish, you don't get it. So that's, well, anyway, Solomon, when he became king, God came to him and said, I'm going to give you a wish, anything you want. Well, he could have asked for a long life. He could have asked for lots of money. He could have asked to be king of the world. But he asked to be wise. He asked to know the difference between right and wrong in ruling his people, because he was a young man. And he was known for his wisdom. He was known for being smart and making good decisions. But yet he was concerned that he wasn't going to do well as new king. So, and the Bible says, and God was pleased. He was pleased that that's what he wished for. And because of that, God said, and because you wished for that, if you continue to keep my commandments, I'm going to give you a long life. And I'm going to give you a lot of money. And I'm going to make you the king of the most powerful country in the world. That's pretty special. So what that tells us is we should always look to please God with what we want. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that you are there for us, and that you love us, and that you will give us what we need. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 15. Paul tells the Ephesians, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Paul, writing to his beloved church at Ephesus, tells them the secret to living a happy Christian life: be wise. However, that piece of advice comes with more questions than answers. What is wisdom? How do we live wisely? What makes someone wise? When I hear the word wise, the first association I get is the wise men who came seeking Jesus. You know, the three kings or magi who brought Jesus gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What made them wise? Perhaps as kings, they were known for their wise judgments. Perhaps as magi, which is the same root as magic, maybe they were known for their wise advice that they gave to rulers. Perhaps the very fact that they were able to determine the importance of Jesus' birth made them wise. I don't know, one of the wisest things they did, I think, was when they didn't go back to Herod and tell him where Jesus was. Wisdom, though, is more than being smart. We all know stories of particularly smart people who don't have any common sense. Wisdom is generally defined as having knowledge, perceiving how to use that knowledge, and then doing something about it. Doing the right thing with that knowledge. Pastor Julian DeShazier, senior pastor at University Church in Chicago, Illinois, says this: "I like to define wisdom as the ability to know right from wrong, the ability to know right from wrong, to choose right, and to do right. Knowing, choosing, doing." The first aspect of wisdom is knowing. Sometimes that's having the right information. Sometimes it's knowing that you do not have the right information. Clint Eastwood's character Dirty Harry famously said, "A man's got to know his limitations." Likewise, we need to prepare ourselves for times when we don't have knowledge, but also prepare ourselves to rely on God and others when we're falling short. Solomon, as a young man, already had a reputation for being wise. However, when God came to him early in his reign and asked Solomon to choose what God should give him, Solomon said this, "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" Notice this passage is widely interpreted as Solomon asking God for wisdom. However, the word wisdom does not appear directly in Solomon's request. Solomon asked for an understanding mind and the ability to discern between good and evil. The ability to understand is a key aspect of wisdom. Having knowledge and then knowing what to do with it involves understanding. But wisdom goes further. Wisdom involves the ability to choose between good and evil. If I may, I want to put an even finer point on it. Wisdom involves choosing God's will rather than thwarting God's will. That's not always easy or obvious. And this is why Solomon shows wisdom in his choice of gifts from God. All too often, our choices seem to be between lesser evils or what is the least worst option. We need the wisdom of Solomon to discern what we should do. We need the wisdom of Solomon to make the right choice. Some choices seem obvious or easy. Unfortunately, even easy choices have their pitfalls. We hear stories of people who win the lottery, and their choice is really tough. Take a bunch of money now or take a bunch of money over time. And yet, it seems most of them choose to get a lump sum right now, and later they end up filing bankruptcy. Solomon could have chosen to win the lottery. Yet he chose the ability to discern right from wrong, the ability to discern good from evil, an understanding mind. And verse 10 says it this way, "It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this." How often do our prayers please God? Too often we measure God's answering prayer by whether we get what we ask for. But here, God is pleased with what is asked for. Perhaps that's a sign we need to pay closer attention to what we ask for. We can pray for health or riches or blessings, or we can pray that we are able to discern God's will for our lives and then the strength to live accordingly. What would please God? According to the story of Solomon, God is pleased when we ask for wisdom to discern right from wrong. And the story does not end there. God goes on to tell Solomon, "Because you have asked for this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." God interpreted Solomon's request as a request for wisdom. Solomon's choice for the gift of the ability to know right from wrong, good from evil, and understanding was seen by God as a request for wisdom. God's response to Solomon shows that God has a desire to bless us with good things. This is not a guarantee. This is not the prosperity gospel. Making right choices does not guarantee us wealth, freedom from pain or problems. Just ask Job. However, choosing to live wisely in accord with God's will for our lives is its own best reward. So how do we seek wisdom? How do we seek right relationship with God? How do we discern between good and evil? Our first example is Solomon, who seeks God in prayer. Now, this may sound simplistic, but it isn't. Ironically enough, the devil seems most real to me when I'm trying to find time to pray. It seems like everything happens to thwart my prayer time. I attribute this to the devil's desire to keep us from right relationship with God. Whether it's the devil or plain old procrastination, it can be hard to dedicate time to prayer. Thankfully, we have each other to help us find time to pray. That's what we're doing today, right? We're here in worship together, praying and singing together to God. Thankfully, we have each other's help. Thankfully, we have places we can go that are quiet and set aside for prayer. Like the labyrinth next to the Early Learning Center. That's a quiet place to go to pray. Solomon went to Gibeon, which was described as a high place just north of Jerusalem. Sometimes going to a high place, like the chapel on the hill at Mo Ranch, helps us spend time with God. Notice also that the scripture does not give us an elaborate rendition of holy words that Solomon spoke. Prayer is not about saying the right words. It's about intentionally spending time in awareness of the presence of God. That time can even be in silence. Sometimes silence helps us hear the voice of God better than saying all the right words. Notice that Solomon is drawn toward the example of his father in discerning the right way. Solomon notes that David walked in truth and righteousness and uprightness in heart toward God. Now that may sound inconsistent, because you know the stories of David. You know the story of David and Bathsheba, where he wanted another man's wife. And then he sent Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, to the front to be killed so he could have her. But yet, there are some beautiful psalms that are attributed to David's repentance, to his turning back to God. God has given us other examples as well. We can learn from our parents. We can learn from each other. The church is not perfect. No, we fail as well like David did. But we are a support system that God has given us so that we are not left alone wondering whether we are coming or going. Where else can we look for wisdom? For the way to discern good from evil. The story of Solomon asking for wisdom closes with God telling Solomon, "If you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, then I will lengthen your life. This is not a precondition of God's love and care. It is God's provision of love and care. God knows that if we keep God's commandments, then we're living wisely. It is the manual for understanding how to best live wisely. God's statutes and commandments are contained in the scriptures of both the Old and the New Testaments and are God's gift to us to lead us in the ways of righteousness. These are not laws designed to make our lives hard, but words of God's love and steadfast loyalty to us that lead us in the way we were created to live. Finally, we have the ultimate example, Jesus Christ, who is wisdom personified. Wisdom is a gift of God, and Jesus is a gift of God. God given to us and for us. Jesus taught us wisdom and modeled for us wisdom. A life lived seeking good and rejecting evil. For us, following the example of Jesus, we see that wisdom is not something that is kept in our head, but something that is lived out. It's up to us, as it was for Solomon, to seek to live lives in accordance with God's will, seeking truth and rejecting evil. May each of us find the wisdom we need to live according to the will and the way of God. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let's stand together and say what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. And notice that we've printed the original version of the Apostles' Creed in your bulletin. So it might be a little different from what you saw last week. So look carefully. All right. What do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Presbyterian hymnal to number 327, O Word of God Incarnate.
Unchanging, O light of our dark sky.
Please be seated. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our offerings to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. Bountiful God, you give without measure. May our giving reflect your generosity. May our lives overflow with your deep love. Use our lives and the gifts we bring today to share your blessing in the world. Amen. In need, we look to the Lord, the giver of our daily bread, saying, God of abundant grace, we pray for the church. Help us to discern the mind of Christ so that we may abide in your word and walk in your ways each day. God of abundant grace, we pray for our communities. Let your wisdom dwell among us so that we may lay aside foolish ways and return to your paths of righteousness. God of abundant grace, we pray for the world. Show your mercy and grace to the nations, feeding the hungry, redeeming the captives, and establishing justice for all people. God of abundant grace, we pray for the earth. Restore the earth to the garden you envisioned and created. Where there is fire, flood, or other natural disaster, bringing peace and healing. God of abundant grace, we pray for loved ones. Pour out your blessing, O Lord, on all those who are suffering. Give them long lives to enjoy your goodness. God of abundant grace, generous God, as you provide for us each day, nourish and strengthen us in faith and faithfulness so that we may share your grace in a hungry world through Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn to the insert, In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified. Having heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Seek wisdom. Seek to live in truth, rejecting evil. Seek the wisdom of God through prayer, through God-given examples and support, through Scripture, and of course, through the example of Jesus Christ. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.